Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Bart Winkler Show, great to be with you. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti on the updates. And I've got something to tell you if you want to be involved in the show, and that's that we have a new phone number. A new call-in line phone number. Here it is, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. So all numbers, 888-710-4476. The other one doesn't work. This one is the number now, 888-710-4476. 4476. Kirk Cousins has a new number in terms of how much guaranteed money he's earned in his career. He can add another $10 million to that. This guy, what he has been able to do is simply incredible, will be studied for years. Remember, this guy's got one playoff win. So the contract he signed. He signed last March, and then the Falcons drafted Michael Penix Jr. after that. And everyone's like, well, that's weird. Especially because of how much money you gave him, and it was a big guaranteed contract. Well, there was another $10 million that he was set to make on Sunday if he was still on the roster at the time. It's a roster bonus. If you're on the roster, you get $10 million. The money is not going to be paid until 2026. So the Falcons have to think about their future. And it's a decision about the future that you're kind of making now. You also want to know, do you still want Kirk Cousins on the team? We thought a lot of people thought that he was going to be released. I heard people say he was like a shoo-in to go to Cleveland. Maybe that still will happen. But Atlanta, by keeping him, what they're thinking is if we are going to see him play somewhere else, we're going to want something from that. You're going to have to give us some compensation to make that happen. We're not just going to cut him, have a dead cap here. If we're going to have dead cap, we need some assets in return. Now, how coveted will Kirk Cousins be? Well, the Giants just had Jameis Winston to town for an interview. Is Kirk Cousins someone you'd rather have than Jameis Winston? A couple of these other guys still unsigned. Are we all waiting for one guy to make up his mind, or are we not? And then once we see where the other chips fall, then does a team inquire about Kirk Cousins? Or does a team wait? You know, maybe he gets traded later. Maybe he gets traded in the summer. Maybe he gets traded after a quarterback goes down. Maybe he doesn't get traded at all. One playoff win in 13 years. Here's what he's been able to do. In 2012, remember, he got drafted by Washington as like Robert Griffin III insurance. So he got a standard four-year deal. Then 2016, $19 million guaranteed. $24 million guaranteed on the next contract. He signs then with the Vikings. They give him a bunch of money guaranteed. Like before Deshaun Watson, it was the Minnesota Vikings and Kirk Cousins. $84 million guaranteed in 2018, $66 million guaranteed in 2020, another $35 million guaranteed in 22. He signed the contract with Atlanta for $150 million with $100 million of that fully guaranteed. So his career earnings, as it's set up through 2027, he could make up to $411 million by then. At worst, he's making $329 million. And it's one playoff win. Because he's basically getting paid out on the idea of Kirk Cousins is better than actual Kirk Cousins. The craziest thing with the Vikings is they went out and got him specifically to get them farther than Case Keenum could get them. He got them to an NFC Championship game. Kirk Cousins never got them back to that point. The furthest he got them to was a divisional round. Case Keenum, by the way, has been on 5 teams since that Vikings run, the magical 2017 year. The Minneapolis Miracle was a part of that year. He is currently a 37-year-old free agent. Again, the phone number is 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Will is in Minneapolis. Hello, Will.
You saved that just because you saw Minneapolis was coming up, didn't you?
I saved it. I knew I needed it at some point. I saw Will on the line. I thought this is the time to strike.
Oh, my goodness. That was priceless, really, really, truly. But I appreciate you taking my call. You've got a good show. I'm so glad that I waited so long on hold that the Minnesota Timberwolves have finally made an NBA Finals appearance, Bart.
Ah, come on. They lost tonight, huh? In overtime, they lost?
Oh, it was embarrassing the way they played with their food. Just terrible. The Pacers are missing their top six players, and they could not stop Obi Toppin. Obi Toppin, you know, the guy that's known for dunking, and what is he? You could almost call him like a this generation Harold Miner, or I don't know, something like that, right? And they let him make 7 3-pointers, a career high.
Jeez, Obi Toppin had 34 points in 45 minutes?
Yep, season high points, career high 3-pointers. Isn't that beautiful?
Damn, that is something. Sorry about your loss.
I just wanted to offer you a couple comments. I mean, I agree with you on your presenting Bill Simmons' idea of the NBA going into July there. I mean, that would certainly, wouldn't you say, kind of throw more focus on their, basically their playoffs and their postseason, right?
Right.
So, I mean, just so that, you know, their playoffs and their postseason would pretty much just basically be June and July instead of mid-April to mid-June. Hey, question for you, though. I apologize if you got to it before I was on hold there. Did you talk about the 14 SEC teams in the NCAA tournament? Because that's obnoxious. They might as well just go to 16 SEC teams and say, you know what, this whole quadrant or this whole region, you know, an entire thing is just the SEC region, right?
Yeah, because when I was filling out my bracket today, like, there's going to be a lot of matchups where they play each other, too. I mean, it's hard to keep them all separated.
Hey, when you fill out your brackets, you have to make sure you fill one out on Twitter, and then you can win, and you can get a free trip to Mars. Did you see Elon was doing that?
Did you? That's like the first thing I brought up tonight. I was so mad. I think that was that's the dumbest joke I've ever seen. They're like, free trip to Mars or $100,000.
Yeah, that is some of the worst marketing advertising I think I have ever seen in my entirety of, oh gosh, decades on this rock. But I mean, I'd really like to see Mark Bart Watney on Mars, though, with the poop potatoes. I mean, I think you could do an incredible show from Mars, right, without blowing yourself up.
I could do a show from Mars.
And there could be then the college basketball crown from Mars. I think every time the college basketball crown gets mentioned, you got to dredge up the Dennis Green from Arizona. Well, you know, if they're the champion, crown them, or, you know, didn't he say something to the effect of like, crown them?
Crown their ass. What I might do is, because I don't think that it's going to come up too much. Well, thanks for the call. Maybe I'll take a shot of crown every time we talk about the college basketball crown.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
The late, great Denny Green.
They are who we thought they were.
The SEC, 14 teams are in. So the two teams that are not, and it is like shocking, but also we got 18 team conferences now. with the Big Ten. What does the SEC have? 16 teams? Everybody but LSU and South Carolina got in. Because these teams, the non-conference is, I guess, bad enough. Okay, Oklahoma. Let me just pick on a team, Oklahoma. Yeah, they beat Lindenwood. They beat Northwestern State. They beat Stetson. They beat East Texas A&M is a school. They play some good teams. They actually were on a real hot start before they lost a bunch of games in a row. But Prairie View and Central Arkansas and Alcorn State. Okay, so you rack up all these wins. You took fourth last in the SEC, 6-12 in your conference, but you were 20-13 overall. And you play in a conference where you play Auburn and Florida and Alabama and Tennessee, and those are all top 10 teams. So you get a lot of cracks to try to beat some of these teams. They beat Michigan. That's when they were ranked. They beat Missouri. They beat Mississippi State. They beat Vanderbilt. They didn't beat any like the top teams. They beat Arizona early in the season. And that proved to be a big win. But yeah, I don't know though. I don't like that there's 14 SEC teams in this tournament. I don't like it. I don't like that there's a lot of conferences that are one bid leagues. Because they play all season long and then you have to win on a weekend. And so the seeding is based on how you did that season, but you could have one bad game and you're out. Plenty of one seeds in these smaller conferences have lost because they had one bad night, one off shooting night. And I don't think your whole season should come down to that. But then again, if I'm going to like stack a Georgia or a Vanderbilt or an Oklahoma against a Furman or a Samford or a East Tennessee, like they're better than all those teams. And those are the teams that they're scheduling to beat at the beginning. So, yeah, they get it right. I don't know. Is there a solution? Do you limit? Do you say you have to have at least a winning record in your conference to get in? I don't hate that, because then it makes regular season play a little more exciting. You know, if Arkansas is 8-9, they got to win or they're out. Or the only way they can get in is by being an automatic qualifier if they win their tournament, which then makes the tournament a little more compelling. But I don't know that it's enough of a problem for people to like think of a way to need solution. You know how sometimes we'll say, oh, the MLB All-Star Game, blah, 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 and then we'll all have our solutions all night. 14 SEC teams, that's a lot, but it's a 68-team field. I don't think anybody's... It doesn't go further than this. It doesn't go further than a phone call and then some commentary on it, I don't think. Speaking of the way that the thing was scheduled, so there's a lot of SEC teams that could play each other. In fact, let me take a look at who's in what bracket. So the Atlanta bracket is Auburn, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, so that's three. San Francisco bracket is Florida, Oklahoma. They could play right away. No, Florida. Yeah, they could play right away. You also have Missouri there. You have Arkansas, so there's four over there. I don't know, you get the point. There's a lot. And there you can have these matchups right away where it's SEC schools against SEC schools. Tennessee could play Kentucky in the Sweet 16. You could see a lot of that kind of stuff as you go forward. But in the women's bracket, some people are upset because USC and UConn are in the same regional. So if you start to think of who the biggest stars are in the women's game now, post Caitlin Clark, Juju Watkins at USC, Paige Beckers at UConn, they could play in an Elite Eight game if they win, as opposed to later on in March Madness, when viewership is probably more likely, when there's obviously more at stakes. They matched up in December And more than 2.2 million people watched a game on a Saturday night in December on Fox, which was the largest audience for women's college basketball this season. The NCAA said there was no consideration of those factors. It isn't about putting teams in the same pod. We put them in the spot they earned, which I appreciate. But also, come on a thing like that, it's like, just don't do that. Just separate them. Separate them. You look at the NCAA sometimes, and it does look like they're building towards different matchups. If you break down the bracket a little bit, you couldn't do that on the women's side. So that might have been a thing they probably forgot is what they did. They probably forgot. They probably forgot, and then they just had to make like an excuse. It's probably what happened. Again, new phone number to the show. It is 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Zeke is in Ohio. Zeke.
Oh, hello. Am I on now?
You are on the air. Yes. Thank you for calling. How are you?
I'm very well. First time listener and also first time caller.
Well, look at that. The double whammy.
I just would like to hear your thoughts on the Cleveland Browns' current situation and who they would possibly draft at number two overall.
Do you have a preference before I get into it? Do you want whatever quarterback's there? It'd probably be Shadur.
No, I think they really messed up with getting Baker out of there. So,
oh, yeah, we're going way back. Yeah, yes, they did. They did mess that up.
So I don't really want a quarterback. I want them to actually build. So I'm a huge fan, have been my entire life, and I just don't really know where they go from here. I don't think Chandra Sanders is the answer, personally.
Yeah, I think they probably, we talked about this, Zeke, thanks for the call. We talked about this a little bit last week. I feel like they probably should have traded Myles Garrett if you wanted to rebuild. Because it's weird what they're doing. They're like rebuilding, but they're also tying a lot of money back into Myles Garrett. They have to be rebuilding. They can't not be rebuilding. They don't have a quarterback. So unless they draft one, maybe they think Shadur is going to come in there. I think Cam Ward's going one, so I'll say Shadur. And he's going to, you know, Jaden Daniels this thing. Maybe they are going to sign a veteran, and they're just waiting to hear from Russ or something. Maybe they got a trade in the works. I saw an interview with Myles Garrett. He was asked about, did they tell you who? And he's like, basically, yeah. They told me who the quarterback, they told me who they want it to be. So it seems that seems like a draft answer rather than, because otherwise wouldn't they have, you know, gotten the guy?
Yeah. The fact that he didn't name any names is like, we want it to be Cam Ward. We just don't know if he's going to be available.
I really don't think he is. I think he's going one.
I think so too. The closer we get into it, the more it just seems obvious that Tennessee is going to take a quarterback. Plus, again, I've said this before, Brian Callahan hates Will Levis. It's not that he dislikes him. He hates him. So what better way to put your stamp on that offense and on that team than get your guy?
Okay, so then if Cam Ward's going to go number one, can Tennessee be like, well, we're going to take him, but if you want to trade up, so could the Browns cost themselves even more picks? Would they trade from 2 to 1 to get Cam Ward and then give up more capital? That'd be stupid.
Yeah, but then why would Tennessee want to do it? If they've locked on Cam being a guy, there's no incentive. You just take the guy and that's it. Done deal. I mean, there's not enough
unless
of a king's
Tennessee
ransom.
Would rather take Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter.
That would be an interesting wrinkle. I've said this. I think they should trade back because I don't think Cam Ward does enough for Tennessee. There's nothing around him in order to be successful. But you do need a quarterback, so crazier things can happen. I think this is why the NFL's become a year-round network, or year-round sport, rather, because we're still talking about them, and then we're weeks away from games.
Very interesting stuff indeed. We have another rousing edition of Guess What They Said coming up. That'll be straight ahead on the Infinity Sports Network. This is The Bart Winkler Show.
It's The Bart Winkler Show podcast. Here at The Bart Winkler Show, we give you hot takes, hot mics, and hot guesses.
It really doesn't matter what you say. And I'm hoping that nobody on our team is playing for you.
It's the audio of the day you need and the transcript you don't.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take the serious.
I'm not. I'm
real serious. I put my heart and soul into this every single week.
The contestants are ready.
You play to win the game. Hello?
The Bart Winkler Show proudly presents Guess What They Said.
Listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice.
Here is tonight's host, Carlos with a K.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Guess What They Said. Every Monday's Winders Audio and Fridays here on the Bart Winkler Show. And for the first time ever, for Guess What They Said, all college basketball.
Oh my God.
Shout out to you, Selection Sunday. Shout out to you, NCAA. Let's start with Florida, Bart. Florida snags one of the number one seeds in the men's bracket. So I want you to guess what head coach Todd Golden, what he had to say on where he ranks his team in the country. Now, this one is 17 seconds long. Guess what Todd Golden, Gators head coach, has to say.
I don't know that this has got to be like the most pure form of this game. Because we're going to hear from people that I've never heard talk. And so I got to really guess what they said. That's why the game exists. To see if I can guess what they said based on the situation, based on cliches and how it works. So, Todd Golden, you say?
Si, senor.
And he wants to... Give me that again.
On where he ranks his team in the country.
All right. I think we're the best team in the nation. I think we're the best team in the country. We can beat anybody on any given day. You worry that sometimes you can lose to anybody on every given day, and that's why the tournament's so exciting. But we can beat anybody. We certainly feel like we're going to be playing in this tournament for a while, and we look forward to getting out there and competing.
Really, I just think we continue to prove what we have been all season, you know, which is being one of the best teams in America. Continuing to show that we can beat anybody in America. And, when we're playing like this, I think we are the best team in America, and we got to keep going. Obviously, that can change.
Wepa! That is a Puerto Rican word of celebration, W-E-P-A. Wepa! Because Bart is off to a good start. 1-0. Good. I'm glad that you leaned it on the whole cliche things because, you know, this is pretty much why we put this game together.
Yes.
We expect coaches and players to say nothing when they speak, so nothing is what you get. It should be easily translated, but sometimes there's a curveball. Luckily, there wasn't here for you. All right, so let's go on down to Auburn. Bruce Pearl. I want you to guess what he had to say, head coach for the Auburn Tigers. Guess what he said on where he ranks the SEC in college basketball. Now, this one is also 17 seconds long. Guess what the Pearl had to say.
I don't think you'll find a better basketball conference in this country. They may look at us about for other sports, but this is some of the best basketball has been played right here in these gyms. And we're going to have a real good tournament. It's a competitive league. It makes us better each and every game. And that kind of experience is going to matter come the postseason. But I don't think you'll find basketball any better across the country.
We did great work in the non-conference for our league. A lot of teams did. And because the league sent 14 teams to the SEC tournament, the fact that we were regular season champion of the best conference in history, college basketball, I think is the reason why we were landed at the number one overall spot.
All right. We're going to put this one to the side because how it's written here when I played it is not what I thought he was going to talk about. My understanding.
Yeah, I think the slug was tough.
Well, so my understanding was this is him talking about the where he ranks the conference. But what actually played would have been the slug before that. Now I'm just curious because there is one that he's talking about Auburn deserved the number one overall seed. So I just want to play it to see if it's fundamentally different than what we just played.
If you don't get emotional or if it's not special, it's time to get out of it. Whether you're the fifth seed, 15th seed or the number one overall. I was hoping we'd get the number one overall. I felt like we deserve it because of the body of the work.
All right, so I'm going to have a tiny conversation. I'm not mad, but the slug is certainly misleading because they both could have been something different than what it's put.
May I approach the judge?
Please, go ahead.
Despite the confusion, I did say you're not going to find better basketball in this country.
And I agree with you. I don't think you got it wrong. I'm not saying that at all.
I'm waiting for the bell.
Well, I want to put it to the side because what I thought I had here, not listening to the clip, because I wanted to judge in real time, as we've discussed before. The clip says, Bruce Pearl calls the SEC this season the best conference in the history of college basketball. But what he actually said is nothing to do with the history of college basketball.
He does say that. He does say that in the cut, though.
Does he?
Yeah.
I'm listening. Here's Bruce Pearl, what he said.
We did great work in the non-conference for our league. A lot of teams did. And because the league sent 14 teams to the SEC tournament, the fact that we were regular season champion of the best conference in history of college basketball, I think is the reason why we were landed at the number one overall spot.
Okay, so he does say it, but it's really more about him bigging up Auburn. So I just don't like this whole thing that we're talking. You're going to get the bell because you did correctly say that they played the best basketball. I was really looking for him in emphatic him boosting the conference, not necessarily the fact that Auburn won it, therefore it's a great conference, but whatever.
An appropriate slug, as we say, could have been Bruce Pearl on why he believes the SEC is helpful in the argument for why Auburn should be the number one seed.
Sure, I would have taken something like that. But whatever, we took the scenic
route.
Also,
you were complaining about something that you heard wrong. You didn't even hear the part.
No. I heard it right. I heard what he said, but I interpreted it in such a way that he's like, hey, look at us. We played in such a good conference, but we won, so we must be that good. And Auburn is that good, but that's not what I was looking for.
There's a very simple, instead of getting so bogged down, there's a very simple solution, and that's listen to the cuts before you play them.
But I don't want to. Hell, we're lucky we even had five cuts to scramble and play it on a Monday. All right, so you're 2-0. You need one more to win.
Again, you're relying on what's in a system. You go find these cuts. You got the internet.
No, I don't want to do more work. I want everyone else to do a better job. Why do I have to pick up the slack?
Well, this is the light we... Because I'm not... So I'm going some places. So this is the last guess what they said for 2 weeks.
Oh, wow, that's right. I completely forgot you're not here on Friday. Programming note, everybody. Jody Mack will be here. I don't know about next week. We'll figure that out. But in any case, yeah. At least we can enjoy this guess what they said for what it is right now, which is... baffling to me that the clip was misslugged. In any case, you need this one for a clean sweep, and we'll play the other ones just for people playing at home.
I was in the zone. Now I'm so unfocused.
Good.
You knocked me off.
Good. Here's Duke head coach John Shire, who took over for Mike Krzyzewski. The Blue Devils are also a number one seed. May or may not have Cooper Flagg in a tournament. We'll see. But I want you to guess what John Shire's message is to his team. This is 19 seconds long. What did he say to those Dukies heading into the tournament?
I said, we got to, it's about who's on the court that day. It's about who's out there that day. We got Duke on our chest. We may not have everybody. We may have some guys, but it's about just giving it your best. You have 40 minutes to go out there each and every day. And we know this team can get it done.
Before I play the clip, is it John Shire or is it Mike McCarthy? Because they were very close in terms of how they sounded.
It's John Shire.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see what he actually said.
I want our guys to block out as much as he can. Obviously, the tournament is talked about so much, but in terms of predictions or in terms of what else is happening, because it's so fragile, you know, and you want to make the most of each moment and just really staying locked in the present. So that's going to be my main messaging to the team.
Any complaints?
No, I was close, but...
You know, I like to give the spirit of the clip. I don't think you were in the spirit of the clip in that way.
You can give me the buzz.
And I did. So 2-1, you're still looking for the win here. Could nail it down. You need this one. Otherwise, you won't get it for the week because you're not here on Friday. So let's go to your favorite head coach in college basketball, Rick Pitino. I want you to guess what he said on what St. John's did differently this season compared to last year. Now, St. John's won the Big East tournament for the first time since a long time. I don't have the year in front of me. I don't follow St. John's. I barely follow my own team. Then I'm going to follow St. John's. Even though I live in Queens, which is a weird thing. I probably should be a Johnny Storm guy. Well, listen, just because I live in Queens doesn't mean
I live in Milwaukee and I'm not into Marquette. So.
All right, yeah, exactly. Like, and if I was going to be a college basketball fan, which I'm not, really, the logical thing would be to be the fan of my alma mater, which is the Iona Gales. Even though they fired Toby Anderson and they lost to Mount St. Mary, whatever. But also, I could have other schools back home to choose from. Loyola went on a hell of a run with Sister Jean a couple of years back. I could have went with them. I actually did go to Loyola for a year.
She's still alive.
She'll outlive me. But, you know, if I wanted to fall back and be a fraud, I totally could have came in wearing Loyola colors. As a sophomore in high school, I took 1 year of Asian America studies at the collegiate level. I learned Japanese and then completely forgot it.
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa. Konbawa is a good evening. But yeah, I barely speak any Japanese words. I could say my name is Carlos and I like juice. You know, that's really about it. Watashi wa karusu desu, juice wo nabemasu, or tabemasu.
What are you talking about?
I just said exactly what I just said. But anyway.
What is this history lesson?
I don't know why. Some college basketball tangent. I'm sure we got lost there. When I say we, I mean me. All right, guess what Rick Pitino said about what St. John's did differently this season compared to last year.
It's just the intensity. We just, it's another year. We just get the intensity and the fundamentals and really believing in each other and coming together as a unit and really just playing hard and something like that.
Last year, at this time, we were playing the best basketball of the season, lost 95-90, the closest game Connecticut had. We didn't make it. So we just wanted to play every game in the Big East tournament as if it was the first round, second round, and third round. We did that. The pressure was mounting on us, but we came through in a big way.
I don't know where the hell that was, but you know what? Good enough for me. You mentioned intensity, and he talked about pressure. To me, the two go hand in hand, so congratulations. Okay. 3-1, you'll win the game, but people are still playing.
I forgot about the St. John's last year because it was like they had to win to get in, and then... they didn't get in, and people
did not. That's right.
Yeah, forgot about that.
All right, so last one. Again, this is really more for the players at home. I want you to guess what they said here. Bart Keith Gill. He made an appearance earlier in the program. He is the NCAA Selection Committee Vice Chair. I want you to guess why he said North Carolina received a spot in the NCAA tournament field. This one is 23 seconds long. Guess what Keith Gill had to say about UNC getting in. Rather, why they got in. Sorry, why they got in.
We liked their strength of schedule. We liked the teams that they played against. We thought they may not have won all these games, but they fought hard. They're a very competitive team. We think they could be matched up against anybody. And we thought they were certainly deserving of the nod.
It was based on Memphis and UAB. If Memphis won that game, then that was going to free up a spot in the tournament, and that was going to be North Carolina. If UAB had won, then Memphis was going to be in the tournament. UAB would have been in the tournament, and North Carolina would have been the first team out. And so that process played out today. Memphis won, and that put North Carolina in the field.
All right, for administration purposes only.
That was impossible.
And I did tell you off air that this was going to be pretty hard. Again, for admin purposes, official score is 3-2, but because it's 3-2. today's edition of Guess What They Said. Congratulations.
That was one hell of a ride, Carlos.
Yeah. I don't know how we get off the course so many times. It's like Mario Kart.
We were criticizing the poor person who made the sound cuts. You were on a tangent. You were talking Japanese.
I didn't say what he or she's name was. I didn't out him.
All right. Well, we are going to, how about this? We are going to step away, reconvene, and then we're going to come back and talk about baseball.
You don't know that.
Because the regular season starts in, what is it, 4 hours? 5 hours? 4 hours. 4.5 hours. The regular season starts. And then it resumes in 28 hours, and then it doesn't resume again for another week and a half. But we'll talk some Cubs-Dodgers coming up. Right now, an update from Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. Carlos Ortiz alongside. I think as we discuss the different sports, you begin to learn who we are fans of. I am a fan of everything Wisconsin except for Marquette. Carlos is a Giants fan, football, Rangers fan, hockey, a Bulls fan, and then a Cubs fan.
Yep.
Carlos will be in for a treat in about 4 hours when the Dodgers and the Cubs start the regular season. So there's still a bunch of spring training games tomorrow. Spring training's going on. The Dodgers and the Cubs are in Japan. Soon. And then Wednesday morning as well. And then the regular season doesn't start until Thursday, March 27th, Thursday next week. But keep in mind, this is the regular season. This game coming up in 4 hours is a regular season game. They'll either be 1-1, 0-2, 2-0. The two teams, the Cubs and Dodgers, by, Wednesday when you wake up. So, you're going to watch this game, or what are you going to do? If it was, like, on it, like, in 2 hours, I might stay up. Just because, like, you know, the spectacle of it all. I don't know. I'm not gonna do that, though, because my whole day is ruined. What are you going to do with this? This is actually your team.
Yeah, coincidentally, it's also Pat Boyle's team who's up next with us here on ISN. But I was actually chopping it up with Pat and a couple of guys about this, trying to figure out what I want to do because I'm not missing this game. But also, I'm going to be on 3 hours of sleep or I'm going to be on no sleep. So here are the two things that I was initially going to go with. One, just say, screw it. We're going to cowboy up. We're going to break night by playing video games. Quietly, so I don't wake up anybody in the house. I will stay up for this game. I will walk the dog after the game. I will go into a coma and wake up at 5 Eastern. Or go
like
home.
At night?
Yeah. Like I'm not doing anything there in the middle of the day. I'll just say screw it and just ride out. Or as soon as I get home, try to sleep. At the very least, get a 2-hour power nap. Wake up with the alarm. Watch the game. Then I realize we live in an age of technology where I don't have to sacrifice my sleep for my sports viewing and enjoyment. I can put the phone away, wake up when I wake up, make sure that game is taped, DVR it, so I'll wake up, do not look at my phone at all, because all it is on my Twitter is random New York sports and every single Cubs beat reporter that you can find on the planet. I'm following all of them. No Jesse Rogers, no Bleacher Report, none of that. All of you go away. And I will watch the game and act like it's live and then finally check my phone. That's the third option. I'm leaning toward the third one. But I also do not trust myself to not look at my phone.
Because if you do like anything crazy for game one, there's still another game the next day. Are you just going to not worry about that game as much because it's not the opening game?
The opener, there's something special about it, but I am going to watch as many Cubs games as humanly possible. So whatever I do for tomorrow/today, I have to do it again.
I think because of the hours you keep and win this game is, I think it's just at a bad time. I think you got to go the DVR route. If this was the Brewers, though, what would I do? If this was the Brewers, I probably would just go the DVR route, honestly. Because I'm not staying up another 4 hours.
That's the thing. Like, if I get home and I'm tired, I'm like, do I really want to fight sleep? I don't want to do that. But I just know. I know I'm going to instinctively look at my phone, and the first thing that's going to be there is the final score. And I'm just going to be, damn it! And, like, I'll have no enjoyment to watch this. I'm not going to watch it if I know how it ends.
So when the World Cup is on, I try to watch every game, and what happens with these morning games is I'll, like, tape it and then have the hope to wake up and then watch it. But my body will, like, I don't sleep well knowing that I want to get up. So I would probably end up getting up when it's, like, the fourth inning anyway, and then you just ride it out. Then you'll go back, take a nap. But I'm interested to know. Don't tell me until this time tomorrow night.
Gotcha.
And we'll pay it off for everybody listening. Okay, good?
Yeah. I mean, hopefully people care.
Doesn't matter. We're doing it. Thanks to Marco Belletti, Carlos Ortiz. I'm Bart Winkler. Pat Boyle up next. This has been the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.